Good morning. Wow, I'm glad you guys are happy to be here. Good morning again. I'm glad to be here. I love to be here. I love to be here with you guys. You're my family, and this is my favorite place to be. This is the place I want to be, and I hope that I continue to grow my family in that same love and hope and passion to be here with the body of Christ, right? Anybody else agree with that? No? Okay, good. A few people. All right. One or two. I think me and the donors. But I was talking. I'm going to have a brief detour here. I was talking to Clint this morning, and we were just talking about how I speak and how I communicate. And I was telling him this last week, I'm a hands talker, right? If you've ever met me, you know that that's what I do. But I was talking to somebody, and Oliver kept coming up and grabbing my hands. And I noticed that every time he grabbed my hands, I would quit talking. I don't know what was going on there, but there was something happening where it was like my mute button, and I couldn't not do it. So if I look like I'm moving a bunch, it's not because I'm anxious. It's not because I'm worried. This is my volume button here. So I have to have it on. I'm so excited to be here. I'm so excited about this time of year. I love Christmas. I love the celebration of Christmas. I love everything that we do. I love decorations. I love all of the things about Christmas. But my favorite thing about Christmas is talking about the birth of Jesus, right? And I don't want to twist anything. I don't want anybody to blow anything out of proportion and say, well, Jesus wasn't really born on the December 25th. I get it, okay? That's not what I'm proclaiming, but I'm saying this is the time we've set aside to celebrate Jesus' birth, right? And this is what we're here to do, and it is incredible. I love the songs, I love the music. We start listening to Christmas music really early in our house, like January 1st, and we just stay hooked in. We enjoy it. It's kind of one of the things we do. Every time the song Little Drummer Boy comes on, I kind of lose my mind for a minute. And every time it comes on now, my kids are like, that's Dad's favorite song. So it's just a good song. We're celebrating Jesus coming, right? What is greater than that in this world? Nothing. Nothing. This is the moment that we get to celebrate His birth. And what's so great about His birth? It's the hope of salvation, right? The hope of salvation. Everything in the Old Testament that we read about, that we've read, that we understand, that the Jewish culture understood, like Jesus is coming, there is a Savior coming, there is a Savior coming, we're not going to have to make sacrifices anymore. We're not going to do this, we're not going to have to do this, we're not going to. It happened when Jesus was born, right? And then He was sacrificed, and He came back from the dead to offer us hope. And that should make all of us in this room want to stand up and jump and scream and be crazy, right? That is incredible. That is the most incredible thing that we can talk about and experience at all, bar none, in this world, right? I'm glad a few people agree. Jesus is amazing. Jesus is incredible. Without Him, all of this craziness, all of the pain, all of the hurt would be more than I could handle, right? Without a hope in Him, it would be crushing. The defeat in this world would just be insane. But because of Jesus, I have hope. Because of who He is, because of what He did, I can celebrate this life, right? However broken it is, however scary it is, I can celebrate because of who Jesus is. So today we're going to be in Luke chapter 3, if you want to get there, and we're going to be talking about John, right? We're going to be talking about John. And John is in Scripture, or what one thing we can point out about him is he is a great anticipator, right? We are talking about the birth of Jesus. We're celebrating this month, but John was proclaiming it as the great anticipator. He was celebrating this man, Jesus, who had come into this world, right? That's what John was doing. That's what John was celebrating. That's what his life was built to be about. That's what he did with reckless abandon. And we can learn a lot from that, right? We can be that same type person. Last week we talked about, what did we talk about last week? Anybody remember? Somebody's coming back again. Anybody remember? Jesus, that guy? Yeah, he's coming back. And that was kind of a big deal in last week's message. Jesus is coming back. He came and he died and he ascended into heaven, but guess what? It's not over. He's coming back, right? And we have hope in that. We have celebratory hope in the fact that Jesus is coming back to get his redeemed that he purchased, right? That is an incredible celebration that we can have today. But John was on this earth, he was on this planet, and everything about him was talking about the hope and the anticipation of this man, Jesus, right? So before we get real too in-depth on the passage that Garrett read, I want to read one thing real quick, and it's not right there. I got to flip back here in Luke 1. I'm going to be in Luke 1 real quick, verse 41 through 44, okay, real quick. Actually, I'm going to start in 39. It says, in those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Why did the baby leap? Who was the baby? John. Right? Even as a child in his mother's womb, there was something awesome happening that he recognized, right? There was something incredible partaking. Now, I haven't experienced that. I've never had a human being inside me, but it's weird. It's strange when a baby is moving, right? Would anybody ever felt that? It's strange. It's awkward, but imagine just going up to somebody, and because of the mere presence of Jesus, the baby starts doing a little dance in there. That's crazy, right? That is exciting. And John was the man, he was the child inside that was leaping because of Jesus, right? There was already, before he was even walking on this planet, he was already celebrating the coming of Jesus, right? That's incredible. That is incredible. Now, I don't understand all of that. I don't understand what that was like. I don't understand what that means, except that that baby knew something was special about the other baby, right? He recognized something incredible about him. So we're going to read real quick back in Luke chapter 3. And it says, in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, regent, oh, good gravy, tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. And he went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall become straight, and the rough places shall become level ways, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. I read that 100 times and I didn't stumble once until just now. This anticipation, this proclamation, this coming of John to proclaim who Jesus is incredible in this little passage that we read right here, okay? This passage is in other Gospels, but this one gives us just a glimpse more, and I'm going to hit on that in a minute. The last two parts of that, the verses that he's referenced kind of Isaiah, the others don't mention some of that. But Luke does, and there's a reason why, and we're going to focus on that in just a minute. But at the beginning of that, we get these three verses at the beginning where there's a lot of names, right? There's a lot of history. There's a lot of context. And what is going on there is they're setting the stage for the historical context. What is happening? Who is the leadership? What is going on? So it allows us to place ourselves in that framework in that time period. Does that make sense? Okay, we have these non-Jewish people, and then we have these two Jewish people, right? These two high priests that it mentions, and they're not high priests at the same time. It was different times, but it was that time frame. Does that make sense? All of the things that were going on there, these leaders that were coming into the Jewish community, they weren't making it easy on the Jewish community, right? These people were having things stripped away from them that was not a part of their their heritage and their history, and it made life difficult on them, okay? And then you have Annas and Caiaphas, who are the high priests, and they were warping things, okay? They were doing things for their own sake and not for the sake of God or for the sake of the temple and the well-being of the Jews. Does that make sense? All of these people that were mentioned, we're getting a preface, we're getting a look, a glimpse into the historical context of what was going on there and why was it important? Why was it important? Where was John in all this? Was he in there with them? Was John in there with Annas and Caiaphas? Was he in that temple with them? Where does it say he was? He was out in the wilderness, right? So we have this man, John, and he's not a part of like the main establishment, if you will, right? He's not in part, and he's not being warped, and he's not being changed by the world. He's out in the wilderness on his own, focusing on what his calling in life is, right? So I'm saying that, and I'm not saying that to mean we all need to sell everything we have and move away to the wilderness. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is, John was a man who was called out by God to do something special, and he not once in his time was he warped and misled by the patterns of this world, right? We as a church sometimes, and I don't necessarily mean us, East Point, but as a church globally, we get warped and we get misled by this world, right? We let things come into the church, and we let things challenge us on our beliefs, and we allow our beliefs to align with the world. And a lot of times we do it, quote unquote, in the name of Jesus, right? If I act a little bit more like the world will come in and then they'll get to know Jesus, right? That's kind of a scary statement, but that's what we do. If I act a little bit more like them, if I'm not set apart from them, if I laugh at the humor that they laugh at, if I play with the same things they play with, then they'll listen to me more, right? And then I can bring them in. And the scary part is we do that just in our own lives, but a lot of churches do that in the church, right? They bring outside influences into the church and they say, we're going to do this because it's going to be cool and it's going to be this and it's going to be that. And what should we be doing in the church? We should be proclaiming the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It should never be anything about the world. We should never detour from what this scripture tells us of who Jesus is and what Jesus is just to appease the ears of the world. We should stand firm on what this truth says. We should stand firm on the gospel of Jesus Christ. We should stand firm on the fact that John was set apart and he stayed apart and he proclaimed the truth of who Jesus was. Amen? That's what we should be doing. We as a people in our history, in our context, in America, we should not look like the world. Right? We should be drastically different than this world. Drastically different. And when I'm saying we, I'm talking to Josh, right? It is hard. It is difficult. We go to work, we go to school, we go to our homes, and we continually allow the things of this world just to creep in and be a part of our lives, right? That's terrifying. That's terrifying to think that we allow the world to lead our families. When I was a kid, a little kid, if you would have told me at any point in my life that I would have allowed something to come into my home that would redirect my home away from Jesus, I would have spit in your face or something dumb like that, right? I'd be like, no way, I'm not doing that. No way, I'm always going to put Jesus first. But then we become adults and we get dumb, right? Is any other adult in here dumb or just me? We allow, Pat raised his hand too. You're welcome, Pat, for calling you out there. We do dumb things. We allow the world to come in. We allow the world to come take a hold of our lives, and it pulls us away from Jesus. It pulls us away from the calling that we are on this earth to have. Jesus put a call, or God put a call on John's life to proclaim, for him to proclaim who Jesus was, and for him to be the anticipator of who Jesus is and what he came to do and who he came to be for us. Does that make sense? We are in this world and we are being pulled constantly towards the world. We are being constantly pulled away. Now, it also, historically, we get a historical context, but then we get the geographical context there too, right? Where was John at during this time? We've already said he was in the wilderness, right? He wasn't in the city. He was out in the wilderness. He was doing his thing in the wilderness. Scripture talks about him when he was born. After the eighth day, he moved out into the wilderness, right? He's out there his whole life, and he's studying, and he's training, and he's getting an understanding of his people in their place so that he can proclaim who Jesus is. We need to be paying attention to the world around us and our situation in that world. Now, John, whenever he's in this place and he's in this moment, what is John telling people to do? When he's preparing the way, when he's leading the way for people, when he's talking about Jesus, what is he telling them to do? Look in verse 3. And he went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. This is crucial for us right here. This is crucial. John, when he went around and he's proclaiming, what is he telling the people to do? To be what? To be baptized. Why do they need to be baptized? What does baptism represent? What is it a symbol of happening in our lives? A new life, right? We're turning away from the old life. We're stepping away. We're saying, this is terrible. I don't need that. I'm going to follow Jesus, right? That's what baptism is a picture of. And so John, in this context, what he's saying, he went into all the region around the Jordan proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. This is huge for us. And this is why it's huge for us. It's huge for us because we weren't in that culture. We weren't Jewish people. But John is going around proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And it's not just for the Jewish people. It's for all people. But the Jewish people, he was kind of like turning the world upside down on them. Why? How was he turning the world upside down on them with that statement right there? What did the Jewish people believe about themselves for the most part? What do they believe? If I'm a son of Abraham, what am I getting? Eternal life, right? I'm a son of Abraham. I was just born into this. I just happened into this because this is where I was born. This is who I am. This is what I've done. Now, here's a reality check for us today. We're in church, right? Reality check for us today is just because we're in this place doesn't define what our heart is. There's 100 people in here today, right? And 98 of us in this room could have a heart that wants nothing to do with Jesus. But we could on the outside be saying, yeah, Jesus is great. Jesus is great. But our hearts can be dark. Our hearts can be broken and torn and pulled away from God. But we have hope for forgiveness of sins in Jesus. And this Jewish culture, this Jewish people, John was flipping things upside down on them. He wasn't a part of the establishment. He didn't come from the temple. And the people in the temple were just saying, bring your sacrifices, bring your sacrifices. They were making money. They were profiting off. They were profiting. And John is out in the wilderness and he's saying, be baptized for repentance of sins. If you want to know who Jesus is, if you want eternal life, if you want to know who God is, then you need to be baptized in Jesus. Does that make sense? He has flipped everything they understood from history. It was all about their lineage. It was all about who they were. It was all about where they came from. And their history and their lineage was pulling them away from the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus tells them that if they want a relationship, they've got to be baptized in His name, in His blood. Does that make sense? Everybody understand? John was ridiculously throwing this world upside down in that historical context. When you read the part where it goes back to Isaiah, okay? Let me start in verse 3 again. And he went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall become straight, and the rough places shall become level ways, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Did you catch that last part? All flesh shall see the salvation of God. That's coming out of Isaiah. That's coming from the Old Testament. This people group that John was talking to, they had a huge connection to the Old Testament, right? They knew it. They knew what it said. They knew what it meant. It was a part of every aspect of their life. And John goes out to them and he calls out and he cries out from the book of Isaiah. Luke is pointing out who John was. The voice of the one who's crying out in the wilderness. The one who's out in the wilderness and he's making every high low and he's making the path level. He's making the path straight, and salvation has come for all people. That's where we should celebrate. That's where we should be excited, because we have the hope of eternal life now, right? Not just the lineage of Abraham, not just the people that were born of him. When you read back out of Isaiah, you've got 39 chapters of judgment of what's to come, because this people continue to turn their backs on God, and these people are turning away, and they're turning away, and they're turning away, and you've got just judgment being poured out over and over. 39 chapters, and then in chapter 40, it talks about comfort and peace coming to you. And where does the comfort and peace come from? It comes through Jesus, right? And there is one coming that's going to prepare the way for the coming of the King. When we read Scripture a few months ago, and we were in Hebrews, who was Jesus in Hebrews? He's the one that sat down at the right hand of God, right? This is a big deal. This is a big deal, because we are here and we're in this place and we're celebrating Jesus, and John is proclaiming and he's preparing the way for Jesus. But who is Jesus? He is the one that sat down at the right hand of God, right? We should have tremendous hope in that. We should have incredible hope in that. John, the great anticipator for what is to come, was only speaking the truth about who Jesus was. He wasn't being led away by the world. He was transformed by what Scripture told him to be, right? He was transformed by who Jesus was, what Jesus was, and what he wanted them to do. John is continually pointing out who Jesus is and what he was. In John chapter 1, I've read this verse probably 1,000 times up here. It says, "The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who ranks before me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel. And John bore witness. I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, he on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God.'" John, when he saw Jesus in his life, what did he say about him? What did he say? "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." That was huge to this people, and it should be huge to us as well. But we don't really live in a sacrificial type system, right? If you're sacrificing at your home, let's talk after church. Okay, we'll have some discussion. But it doesn't make a lot of sense to us. It doesn't make sense like it did to those people who understood that I had to get this spotless, blameless lamb that had no sin in it whatsoever, and I had to slaughter it for my own sake, right? That's what these people did. And what does John say about Jesus? "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Jesus, the spotless, blameless Lamb of God, who we celebrate at Christmas time, came into this world because he loves this world. Because he loves you and because he loves me. And he wants nothing more than for us to be in a right relationship with him, right? That's why he died on the cross. Jesus loves us. And John bore witness about that. John was in the wilderness. He was set aside. He was different. And he proclaimed who Jesus was. Whenever he saw Jesus later on, it says, that's him. That's the guy I was telling you about. I'm not even worthy to undo his sandals, right? I am nothing in his sight. That Lamb of God, I can't even touch Him. He is that incredible. When we live our lives in this world, we don't live like Jesus is worth that much to us. Right? Or maybe I'm the only one. But we live a life where we come to church and we say things and we sing and we cry out to God. And maybe we even come up here and we pray. But as soon as we walk out of here, our hearts are darkened again. We walk away and we just live a life that is not proclaiming who Jesus is, right? We are not in anticipation of the coming King, right? John lived his life and he was preparing the way and he was talking about the way, and this one is coming and he's going to take away the sins of the world, and this is the man that's coming, and we can read about who he was and we know the ending there, and then we see the other ending that he's coming back to bring us back to him, and we live our lives like we just don't even care. And that hits home. That should hit home for all of us. Because Jesus wants us to be in a right relationship with Him, right? He wants us to know Him. Does anybody in this room have like a best friend? And I'm not looking for a church answer, okay? So I'm not. Do you have a best friend that you talk to? Knows everything about you? What do you want from your best friend? What does anybody want from their best friend? Time? What else? What do we want from our best friend? And you can say your spouse if you're married. If you're not married, that's okay. It doesn't have to be your spouse. You can have a lot of best friends. You can have 10 best friends. But you want their attention, right? You want their time. You want their heart, right? Especially when you're with them. When that's your person, you want to feel engaged with them, right? And in our world, we are so disengaged from everything, from technology and everything else, that we don't even have time to spend with people one-on-one. But God is the Savior of the world, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, and John proclaimed who He was. He talked about Him being the Lamb of God, and we see Him as the Lamb of God, but we don't even offer Him time. Except a couple hours on Sunday mornings, right? Is that fair? And I feel like I sound really depressing right now, and that's not my goal. But if Jesus is the King of kings, if when we read in Hebrews He's the one that sat down at the right hand of God, if He is the Lamb of God who was slain for my sins, I should be ecstatic about Him, right? Did anybody... I hate to go sports here on it because I know not everybody's into sports, but did anybody stay up watching football all day yesterday? And a couple of heads are nodding. Yeah. How many people like texted 5 times after a football game that happened yesterday? Anybody? I know this one up here in the front did, and maybe her dad that's in the back. But we get so excited about stuff in this world, right? We get so excited about stuff. Caleb, I bought a new bike. I'm so excited. And I text Caleb like 25 times in a row, like pictures and selfies with my bike and all this stuff. We get jacked up about stuff, right? Hey, I got a new truck. Or some of you guys that right when you hit 16, I got a new car. Check it out. I got a new this. I got a new that. And we're really excited about our toys. We're really excited about our stuff. And we spend more time celebrating that stuff than we do Jesus. That's sad. And that, I'm not saying you got, Josh, you're sad, right? I'm talking to myself. Jesus wants to be our King, and if He's our King, we need to be separated from this world. We need to be different from this world, and we need to be the loudest voice out there screaming about how great He is. Jesus is the King of kings, and He is the Lord of lords, and we can celebrate Him every moment of our day and every moment of our lives in this country that we are born in. We can do it unashamedly, and we don't. We don't. If it was that important to John, and salvation was really a big deal, shouldn't we be proclaiming Him more than just when Little Drummer Boy comes on? Right? Our world and our lives need to stop and pause, and we need to be celebrating how great Jesus is every moment of every day. John lived in anticipation for the miracles that Jesus was about to perform, and he proclaimed that truth coming, and he proclaimed it, and he proclaimed it, and then it happened. And then Jesus was there, and Jesus performed miracles, and he died, and then he rose from the grave, and he ascended into heaven. And now we are in anticipation of the return of the King of Kings. How much should we be sharing that? How much should we be shouting that? How much should we be leading our families in that direction? If Jesus is everything to us, if he is the King of Kings, if he is the Lord of Lords, then our lives should look a lot different, right? Maybe just mine. But I know for me, if I really believe all of these things to be true, if I believe all this stuff to be true, which I'm professing to you that I do, my life should be different, right? My life should be a lot different than the world, but it should be every day even more different because I'm growing in my understanding of who Jesus is. Don't be so crazy this year that you cannot pause and have hope in who Jesus is, right? Does anybody get stressed out at this time of year? Nobody? Does anybody have like family come over and get really worked up about it? Does anybody go to somebody else's house and spend like hours there and get nervous about that? Like I just want to be home in my own bed doing my own thing? Nobody? Just me? Okay. I'm the only one. This time, me and Ian. Ian and I. I get worked up. I get stressed out, right? Time off from work and I'm time with family and time with extended family and all of these things are taking place in my life, and it's a time where we have set aside where we can celebrate Jesus. We need to pause and think about that, right? We are in this season of Advent and we're talking about Jesus. We're living in the hope of who he was and in the hope of who he is and that he is returning for us. That should change our lives. That should change our worlds. We should be living a crazy, ridiculous life compared to this world, right? We shouldn't look like this world any longer. We have got to stand up as a church, as a body, and we've got to go out into the world and proclaim the truth of his goodness. Chris was speaking a couple of weeks ago about the guy, the friend they met at the restaurant, right? And what are they doing with that guy? They're proclaiming the truth of the gospel with that man. Why? Because Jesus is important to them. And if Jesus is important to us, then what should all these empty seats look like? Like, we should be bringing our hurting friends, right? We should be getting beside them and bringing them here so that they have a chance to hear about what we anticipate in Jesus, right? We know that Jesus came and he died on the cross for us, and we know he's coming again. So it's time to live our lives in that manner. It's time to have a hope and to be proclaiming at all cost, regardless of what it is, that Jesus is the King of Kings. And he didn't come just for us, and he didn't come just for the church people, but he came for all people. And if he came for all people, then I've got to open my mouth outside of this church, right? I've got to open my mouth. We are here in this place, and Jesus is telling us to be different. And it doesn't matter that I grew up in church, and it doesn't matter that my granddad was a deacon, right? And it doesn't matter that all of my uncles were deacons. None of that matters if my heart isn't changed because of Jesus. And if my heart has changed, then my life should be different. And your life should be different if you've been changed by Jesus, right? I'm going to pray for us. And I hope through all the chaos that we just talked about, that you can see that we need to be different in this world. We need to live a life that's different, especially at this time of year. We all in this room, all 100 of us that are in here, we all have things happening that are tough and are difficult. But we need to lay that at the foot of the cross, and we need to be proclaiming Jesus as the light and the hope for this dark world. Amen? Jesus is incredible. And if we believe that, then our life needs to look different. I'm going to pray for us. And if you want to come down and pray, I know Chris will be down here. If you want to pray by yourself, come pray for yourself. But especially at this time of year, let's get our hearts straight, and let's get our hearts right, and let's proclaim the truth and the hope of Jesus Christ, right? Go ahead and stand with me. Jesus, we thank you so much for who you are. We thank you for what you are. We thank you that John lived a life that was different, that he was not changed by this world, but that he stepped aside and he lived in the wilderness so that he wouldn't be changed by this world, but he would continually be changed by you. I thank you so much for the message that he offered, the hope that was in you, the hope that is in your salvation, God. It's our hope as well today. God, we know that you came. We know that you sent Jesus for us. We know that you were before all and through all, and everything is because of you. And we know what you did on the cross for us, God. And because of that hope, because of that knowledge, Jesus, make us different in this world. Jesus, may we be a people that never gets quiet about your truth. May we boldly proclaim your truth and your knowledge and your hope. Jesus, you are so good to us. We are so grateful for the hope that we have in you. And I pray that we would pause at this time of year and we would look forward to all the things that you offered us through Jesus. God, change our hearts today.